last part.
The one that we don't sing, that last one, the one that says optional. Shouldn't be optional. We should sing that last part. But anyway, aren't you glad that he lives? And you know that he lives because he lives within your heart, but you see just the hand of God in your life each and every day. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7 tonight as we look and study the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11. I'm glad that we serve a God who is a God of prayer, that he answers prayer, but there are some requirements to praying, and the requirements are you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and obviously that he will answer your prayer. And again, just being reminded of some things tonight through the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that you are a prayer answering God. We thank that we can sing that song, "He Lives," Lord, with passion. And Father, with love and with devotion, knowing that we do have a Savior who has risen from the grave. We have a Savior who is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have a Savior who is waiting for you, Lord, to say it's time and for the trumpet to blow and for him to come and get us, Lord. We're looking forward to that day. Father, thank you for every day that you give us to be able to walk with Christ, to be able to fellowship with you and to be able to worship you, and Lord, to be able to trust you and to call upon your name. We thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you and that you do show us great and mighty things which we know not. Father, many times we miss out on the great blessings of God because we do not come to you. We don't seek you. We don't knock on those doors. And Father, I ask you to open the doors that no man can openeth, and we sometimes don't ask you to shut the doors that no man can shut, Father. You're in full control, and you have all power and sovereignty, and we thank you for it. But Father, would you please guide us through the verses tonight, and guide us through the words of Christ. I pray, Lord, you would encourage the hearts of your people. I pray that you would draw us to you tonight. I pray, Lord, that, Father, we would just, Lord, have a greater love and passion for the things of God and for prayer, Lord. What a great privilege it is to be able to pray to you, Lord, not to have to go through some human being, but to come directly to the throne of grace, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you would please bless your people, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 7, he tells us a couple of things, and again, he just reminds us that when we come to God, God is a God who answers prayer. I love the fact that Jesus says, "Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Ask, and you shall receive." But when you think about prayer, you think about asking and seeking and knocking, it does take, like I said, it does take faith on our part. It does take belief that we are coming to a God who can and will answer our prayer according to his will. But there is a prerequisite to that, to believing, and that is the fact that we cannot have unbelief in our life and in our prayer life. We must believe that God can, because many of us, if not all of us, we have something we're seeking God for. We have someone we're seeking God on the behalf of, and we have to believe that God is able to turn the heart of anybody to him. He's able to help God's people to be faithful. He's able to help a wayward child, a wayward church member to come back to him. God is the God of the impossibilities. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Just this kind of introduction to what we're going to talk about tonight, the fact that God is still able, but if we do not believe, God counts it as sin. We typically would not. We honestly would, and I even thought about this, and I had to kind of rein in my thoughts, but I thought, well, wait a minute, God said, Jesus told the Father, "Do you believe?" And the Father who had the son that was possessed with a demon said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." Now, again, this is not what Romans is talking about. Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God knows if we have faith. He knows if we have a little bit of faith. And Jesus says if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, then we can say to this mountain, be removed, it'll be cast into the sea. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 17. Keep a finger in Matthew 7, but go forward to Matthew 17. And we'll look at the words of Christ where he says that. Because again, God knows if we have any faith or no faith at all. And really what keeps God from answering prayer is not having any faith in God, not having any belief. And honestly, someone who really doesn't believe that God can answer prayer, they're not even going to ask God, they're not even going to seek God. But Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock, and it shall be done unto us. But in Matthew chapter 17, you look at verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Notice the Father, he's wanting a cure. Listen, Jesus can heal completely. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Listen, we still live in a spiritual battle. There is still demonic oppression in people's lives. And when someone is afflicted with illnesses, there are illnesses and sicknesses, but there are also demons who afflict people with illnesses. Now, again, if you don't believe in the spirit world, you don't believe in demonic activities, the Bible tells us it wasn't something just in what we consider the Bible times. It's still relevant today. It's still today because the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of the darkness, the rulers of the night, right? We still wrestle against the devil and his demons. Now, when we are seeking God on the behalf of somebody, like the Father was seeking Jesus on the behalf of his son, who the Bible says was a lunatic, he was being oppressed, he was being afflicted by a demon, and the Lord Jesus rebuked him because the Father was willing to come to him. But again, if you notice, in verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Again, when Romans 14:23 talks about whatsoever is not of faith is sin, that is talking about someone who absolutely does not believe one ounce that God can do anything. God understands we struggle. God understands that we're flesh. Jesus did not rebuke the Father for having a lack of faith because he said, I have faith, but help my unbelief. All right? And Jesus says, if you have just a grain of mustard seed faith, if you have just a little bit of faith, and you really, I believe God can do this. He says, listen, you can say to this mountain something that is larger than you, something that is strong, something that's immovable. And Jesus says, you can say to this mountain, be ye removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Because God is the God of the impossibility. And when we seek God, we're seeking the one true living God who can do anything. Because again, it's not by our power and our strength that we change things or change people, but it's the power of God that we're seeking. We're seeking God's will. We're seeking God's intervention in the lives of people and even in our own lives as well. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9. And there are those that struggle with this. They struggle with whether or not God will answer their prayers, whether or not God will help them, whether or not God will do what they need help with. Sometimes people won't even ask God for wisdom. When God says to ask for wisdom when we need it, and he gives it to all men liberally. I mean, how many of us tonight believe that God can? There's nothing God can't do, but he can. You know, because again, how much you pray really shows how much you believe God can. And I'm not talking about just being faithful every day to pray over your meals and to pray for certain people that you always pray for, but praying even for those that they're struggling in their faith, they're half-hearted, they've gone wayward. Praying for them, believing that God can and will turn their hearts back to him. Now listen, when you think about the prodigal son, we don't see, Jesus does not tell us if the father was praying for the son, but how many of us parents understand the parent who has a wayward child is going to be praying for that child, praying for that son or daughter, praying for that relative, that God would get a hold of their heart and turn them back. Again, Jesus says, seek, ask, seek, and knock. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, look at verse number 9. Again, God does work in the impossibilities. The Bible says here, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's the heart that trusts him, the heart that leans upon him, the heart that's seeking God, the heart that wants God to be glorified, the heart that wants God to intervene in their life and the life of somebody else. You don't have to admit it out loud or anything, but has there been times in your life where you gave up praying for something or somebody because time had gone on, you didn't see any fruit whatsoever, you saw no inkling that God was working, that the person was turning around? But God never tells us. In fact, Jesus says, pray without fainting. You know, we are to pray without fainting because, again, it is God that we're waiting on. It's God who can open doors that no man can open. It's God who can shut doors that no man can shut. It's God that answers prayer. It's God that can move the mountains that we pray and ask him to move in our life. No doubt there have been mountains in your life where you needed God to move them. It was obstacles in your life, obstacles in someone else's life. But God calls us, Jesus calls us to ask, seek, and knock. I mean, that is never giving up. That's being consistent and constantly in prayer every day. Again, not just for our own needs, but there are people in your life, people in my life, whether it's people we want to see come to the Lord, whether it's somebody we want to see, you know, returning back to church, being faithful in their life, and maybe we've kind of left it up to, you know, I hope they do, but we've stopped praying. There is power in prayer, and no doubt, you know, we do at times get tired. At times we get frustrated. But if we will believe the words of Jesus Christ and have the faith and have the belief that he can and will answer our prayer, because as we see in the words of Jesus Christ, who cannot lie, he never says with these three things, asking, seeking, and knocking, he never says, and God might come through. God always comes through. God's timing is always perfect. God's always on time, and his ways are always best. But you and I have to pray believing that God will, and leaving it in his hands. How many of you understand that as soon as you finish praying, sometimes the devil's right there to say, it's not going to happen. You've been praying about that for 3 years. Trying to discourage the fact that you laid it upon the altar, you cast it upon the Lord, and the devil wants to right there try to take away your faith and belief that God can and will in his timing. Again, when you look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, as we think about the things that Jesus says, verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Simply put, ask and it shall be given you. One of the simplest things I can think of is there are times where I have my little girls will come and stand in front of me smiling. Kind of sheepishly, like you know they want to ask you something, but they're not quite sure. You know, I don't know if they're thinking, they don't know if I'm going to say no, they don't know how to ask, and I'll sit there, what is it? I can't help you if you don't tell me. I can't read your mind. I wish I could, right? Now, God can read our mind, but he still wants us to speak the words. He still wants us to call out to him. But Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter 33, and then we'll look at Mark chapter 9, but Jeremiah 33, and these are all familiar verses, but turning the pages and setting our eyes upon the words of God helps us to really believe and trust that what God says he'll do, he will do. Because, again, God keeps his word. He never goes back on his word. His words abide forever, and God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, I love this verse, we're simply told, call unto me. You know what? Back up, if you would, to verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus says, ask, and ye shall receive. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Sometimes we don't get the answer to prayer because we're not asking the Lord in faith. We're not trusting him. We're not calling upon him. God really does want to show himself mighty in the lives of his people. And we have to trust that he is the same God that we read in the Bible, that he does answer prayer, that he does want us to come to him. Why was the veil rent in twain in the temple when Jesus cried out, it is finished at Calvary? From top to bottom, it was ripped so you and I could come boldly into the throne room of grace. No longer, obviously, we're not Jews, right? Israelites, you even think about the Jews, no longer did they have to rely on a high priest to go behind that veil for them, but we could spiritually come before the throne of grace. We could come before the Lord and ask, and the Lord would hear us, and the Lord would answer us. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Aren't you glad that God says, I will answer thee? I mean, what a wonderful truth that is. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's not a maybe. That's not, well, if you've been good. That's call unto me, and I will answer thee. I mean, God is very, very blunt in what he says, and we ought to believe it. That, you know what? What we ask, God will give it. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Again, asking by faith. Again, as I continue to think about it, as Romans says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the devil loves to get into the minds of people and try to twist what God says. And I already brought it up, I'm bringing it up again, though. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. But then we also have the example of the Father who admitted his sin. He admitted unbelief. He said, Lord, help me. I believe, but help my unbelief. When you admit your sin to the Lord, he's able to help. Because again, the Lord knows what's in our heart. He knows if we really do believe that he can do anything and whatever it may be. Never doubt that God can change a heart, that God can bring someone back to him. God knows exactly how to do it. Again, the prodigal son is a beautiful picture of a child of God choosing to go wayward, not listening to wise counsel, thinking that, nope, I'm just going to go and do my own thing, and then find out that, you know what, the world is exactly the way that I was told it was. Cruel, hatred, chew you up, spit you out, the prodigal son's in the pig pen. But the prodigal son remembers, because it comes to his mind, how better off he was in the father's house, how much the father loved him. And you think, God will allow someone to get to the pig pen for them to realize just how good God is. But while God's working on someone's life, you and I can't give up hope. We have to keep praying for that person. We have to keep seeking the Lord for that person and keep believing, nope, God can turn their heart. I may not see the outside, I may not see what God's doing on the inside, but God promises if I ask, I'll receive. And I want this person to come to Christ. I want this person's life to be blessed by the Lord. Whatever it may be, asking and it shall be given you, Jesus says. Again, Mark chapter 9, look at verse 23 and 24. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thine unbelief. Again, this is the father with the son that was lunatic who admitted his unbelief. But notice what Jesus said in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Because we serve a God who can do all things. We serve a God of the impossibility. There's nothing that God cannot do. I have my own prayer requests for this church and ministry, for my family, for each of you. And God hears my prayers. You know, things just don't work in our timetable. They work according to God's timetable. So God tells us not to give up hope, because if we're trusting in him, then guess what? We'll keep pressing on. We'll keep asking him, knowing that God hears us and knowing that God will answer us, because Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Then he goes on in verse 7 to say, seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. How many of you have ever been on the search for something? Whether it was your car keys in the house and you couldn't find them, but you finally found them because you wouldn't give up, or a pair of socks, or in my case, Sunday morning, it seems to be something with the girls, the shoes or a hair bow or something, always trying to find it, right? But he says, seek and ye shall find. Look with me at Psalm 105. How many of you believe the word of God? I mean, when the Lord says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. You know what? If you're really seeking the will of God in your life, you will find it. If you're seeking for God to be glorified in your life, you will find him. If you're seeking for Christ to be lifted up, you will find him. In Psalm 105, verse 3 through 4, if you're seeking, listen, Jesus said, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. But we still, having faith, believing that he can and will, but also having the mindset and the heart that we want the answer to glorify God. We want the answer to glorify the Lord. In Psalm 105, you look at verse 3 and 4, and the Bible says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You know, as you seek the Lord on behalf of someone else or on the behalf of a situation, as you're drawing closer to the Lord, your heart should be rejoicing because you're spending time with the Lord. Again, many people miss out on the relationship with God because they throw their prayer requests at God and then walk away instead of just spending some time with him. Again, because you'll understand, you'll come to know God even more. You'll come to fellowship with him. You'll come to be still in his presence. You'll have the fullness of joy in your life. It's just something about sitting down and spending time with the Lord, even as you seek him for a certain matter or for somebody. Yet it's being in the presence of the Lord, and your heart is rejoiced. Your heart is, you know, it's refreshed. The fact that, you know what, I have brought my request before the Lord. My Savior said, ask, and I shall receive. He said, seek, and ye shall find. What is it that we need tonight? We need to seek the Lord for it, whatever it may be. I can remember years ago seeking the Lord for a job, because the job I had had for 14 years, the position was being done away with where I was at and was being moved to a different state. And only a certain amount of people from all 14 distribution centers They were taking like one from each place to go to Florida, and I just didn't feel like it was God's will for me and my family to move to Florida, so took the severance package and just trusted the Lord that, you know what, he'll provide another job. That was in June, soon after one of our sons was born, and it wasn't until, I think, September that God provided another job. And let me tell you, it was getting a little stressful. It was like, okay, putting the applications in, not getting any feedback, not getting, any job offers, not even getting called in for an interview, and just getting down to the bone, just the bare minimum of finances and stuff. And I just remember we just kept seeking the Lord, but I'll tell you, I was getting worried, but I still believe God would show the job. It was just like, Lord, why do you have to wait until I only have $5? And we literally only had $5 left. And then the Lord gave a job. Because you know what? In the meantime of me seeking and really drawing closer to him and learning really how to trust the Lord, God showed that he's faithful. But sometimes he does kind of stretch you. Sometimes he kind of takes you through that valley you don't want to go through. You just kind of want to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. You know, those high experiences where, well, yeah, God is great. God's good all the time. And God says, well, we're going to go down here a little bit. And it's like, wait a minute, I want to go back up here. But he brings you back up there as you seek the Lord. But seek and ye shall find. And no doubt we found. I found a job. The Lord led me to the right job for the next 5 years before going into full-time ministry. Take your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 5, if you would. Luke chapter 5, I bring that up because sometimes as we seek the Lord, we ask him, we're seeking him, and things just aren't turning out the way that we hoped that they would or we thought that they would. The devil will use that. Again, the devil's always there to try to get us to think that, you know what, God's not hearing us. God's not going to answer us. You know what, God's forgotten about you. And many have turned their back on the Lord because they didn't get what they were asking for. I said, well, you know what? God didn't do what he said. I asked, he didn't give it to me. I sought him, I didn't find it. But again, our whole focus is supposed to be God. Because as we ask and as we seek, our focus is Lord. We're coming before the one who can answer any prayer request, who can turn the heart of anyone, who can change any situation. Because the more that we seek God, he wants our focus to become more and more on him and less on the situation. Because he wants us to be completely, wholeheartedly sold out to him. Knowing that, you know what? He's going to take care of it. He already said that if I asked, I'll receive. He already said that if I seek, I'll find. So now I've given it to the Lord, and I'm going to trust him with it, and I'm just going to spend some time with him. Doesn't mean you stop praying for it, but it means that your focus becomes more and more on God and more on worshiping him and praising him. Luke chapter 5, if you would, in verse 18 through 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 through 20. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they turned around and went home discouraged. Does your Bible say that? No, it doesn't. It says they went upon the housetop. They found a different way. They did not allow themselves to be discouraged by the obstacle that was in front of them, keeping them at that moment from getting to Jesus. You know, sometimes God will allow obstacles in front of us to see what we will do, to see if we'll still be, if we'll be discouraged, if we'll just, you know, well, I tried and, you know, it didn't work, so, or if we'll just, you know what, no way, I'm going to keep trying. Exactly what these friends did. You know the account. This is the man that had the palsy. It was laid up in his bed. And it says in verse 19, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. They found a way to get their friend in front of Jesus. They came to the house, probably thinking, you know what? People are going to see us coming, carrying this couch, carrying this man. People are going to be like the Red Sea. They're just going to part. Someone's going to open the door for us. We're just going to walk in with our friend. Everything's going to be fine. But that wasn't the case. Nobody parted ways for them. Nobody opened the door for them. They could not get into the house, so they found a different way. They were not going to give up because they had compassion and love for their friend. They wanted their friend to get help, and they knew that only Jesus could help their friend. Only Jesus can help your relatives. But have we given up on what God can do? We always have to find another way. We always have to seek the Lord. And that's exactly what these men did. They sought the Lord, and they found what they were seeking, healing for their friend. Notice verse 20, and when he saw their faith, when Jesus saw the faith of these friends, not the faith of the man with the palsy. He had no faith. But when he saw the faith of the friends, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. When Jesus saw the faith of the friends, the friend was helped. The Lord saw their determination. He saw their love. He saw their compassion. Again, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:7, seek and ye shall find. If we will continue to seek the Lord, we will find what we need. We'll find the answer. We'll find the Lord being faithful. We'll find healing. We'll find everything that we need. But we have to ask and we have to seek, believing. Believing that God can and that God will, because Jesus said so. Notice again in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus says, knock and it shall be opened to you. Okay, there are doors in life that we try. Lord, is this your will? Is this something you want me to do? And we try the door. Whether the door is locked, whether it's unlocked, to see if it's God's will. But there are things in our life where the Lord says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, one of the greatest things is in Revelation where Jesus says that he will come to a person, he'll knock on the door, that person, if that person will answer him, the Bible says that he'll come in and sup with him. He'll come into their life, giving them eternal life. But you know what? There are some things in life that we don't even try to do because we think, you know what? The Lord's not going to allow it. I don't even see how God even wants to. Again, when the Lord would call me into full-time ministry, you know, I asked the Lord to do something. I asked him, you know, if this is your will, because I was hesitant about going into the ministry full-time. I was hesitant, a little hesitant even about going to my first church there in Wisconsin. I asked the Lord, Lord, if this is your will, then let it be 100%. Let the people vote me in, that the people want me there. I mean, that's a door that only he could open. Because that church had been through some bad years, and the Lord allowed it. Because you know what? There are doors that only the Lord can open. There are doors that he can shut. But what is it? Again, Jesus says, listen, when you come to the Lord, ask, seek, and knock. And the Lord shall give you. The Lord shall answer you. You'll find, even as he says in Matthew 7:7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Right? Have you ever gone to someone's house and just stood there without knocking on the door? I don't think they're home. All the curtains are closed. I don't see any movement. I don't think they're home. Usually you knock to see if someone's home, right? You don't just sit there and, yeah, I don't think anyone's home, and just walk away. You usually go and knock on the door. And the Lord says, knock, and you shall find. Sometimes we think the Lord will not allow something, so we don't even bother him with it. But the Lord says, knock, and it shall be opened.
Some of the good examples would be a young person seeking marriage and knocking, Lord, is this the right one? Is this the spouse you want me to marry? That's asking, that's seeking, that's knocking. Lord, open up this door if it's your will. Whether it's a job. Again, the Lord's given these words, ask, seek, and knock, because he wants us to be determined in what we do and seeking the Lord and asking him and saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lord, you know what? Lord, I want to serve in the ministry. Lord, I want to do something for you. He says, knock and it shall be opened. Maybe it's someone who is struggling in their life. They're struggling with depression. They're struggling with anxieties. They're struggling mentally. They're struggling spiritually. And obviously their enemy, their adversary, does not want us to ask the Lord, does not want us to seek the Lord, does not want us to knock. Because our enemy knows our God will answer us. We'll find what we need. And the Lord will open the door because he opens the door to his children. Now, I don't think tonight I really have to go into much depth about, you know, God doesn't give you everything you want, right? Some people take that verse, he gives the desires, ask and he'll give you the desires of your heart. They take that out of context. Because guess what? The more time you're spending with the Lord, your heart desire is what God wants. And that's what you're seeking, a closer walk with the Lord. You're seeking God to be glorified in your life. You're seeking Christ to be lifted up. You're seeking to have a brighter walk with the Holy Spirit. As the Bible says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, when you're doing that and you're seeking God's will with faith, believing that he will, you really do. You leave it in the Lord's hands. You really trust, you know what? Even though someone's been like they are all the time, yet I know that God can change their heart. Even though I know that I've struggled with anxieties and fear and doubt, I know that God can help me. I know that God can change that. God can change me from the inside out. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 15. Again, with knocking, you think about knocking. If you know someone's home, you know, some people that come to your house uninvited and they know your home and they want you to open the door, they'll keep knocking. Whether it's a door-to-door salesman, a relative, they'll keep knocking if they know that you're home. In Matthew chapter 15, you look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed. Oh, where am I at? Yeah, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and he departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. So first this woman comes asking for help. Now she's seeking. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I mean, just in this account, this woman, again, who's coming on behalf of her daughter as well, who is sore vexed with a demon. She's the Syrophoenician woman. And the Lord kind of ignores her request. Then he kind of insults her. And then he says, we don't even give crumbs. He's testing her. She's asking, she's seeking, and then she's knocking. She's not giving up. And what do you think happens for this woman who wouldn't give up? Now, a lot of people are going to get hung up on, he called her a dog. How could Jesus call her a dog? But see, that's not the point that Jesus is trying to make. He's making it hard for her. Because the Lord knows what's in our heart. He knows if we just want the reward and we really don't want any part with the rewarder. And he makes it very hard for her. He ignores her and he kind of insults her. And then he says, no, not even giving crumbs. But does she give up? And that's the whole point, is she doesn't give up. She keeps asking, she keeps seeking, she keeps knocking until she gets the answer she came for. In verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. He says, great is thy faith, because she wouldn't give up. She kept asking, she kept seeking, she kept knocking. She would not give up because she knew that only Jesus could help. She knew he had the answer. And he says, O great is thy faith. She didn't give up. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Was made whole from that very hour. She did not allow herself to be offended by not being heard at first. Because have you ever prayed and felt like the Lord wasn't listening? If you've been saved any length of time, there's been times where you've prayed and you felt like your prayers are not going anywhere. They're bouncing off the ceiling. But did you keep on praying? Or did you give up and say, well, that was useless? God knows what's in my heart. And he does, but there has to be something within us that we don't give up, that we continue seeking, we continue asking, we continue knocking. Again, you notice in the examples that I give tonight from Scripture, people seeking Christ on the behalf of somebody else. And they wouldn't give up until they got the answer. The friends wouldn't give up until their friend was in front of Jesus getting what he needed. This mother would not give up until Jesus gave her what she needed for her daughter to be healed. The father would not give up. He admitted, I have unbelief, but Lord, I believe you can do this, but help my unbelief. And again, when you think about the father with the son, it might be, Scripture doesn't say, but he might have had a little unbelief because the disciples couldn't help his son. And yet the disciples were given power. You go back and read the account. Those 12 disciples were given power to cast out demons. And they were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. They were helping people. But then when it came to this man, they couldn't. And Jesus tells them why they couldn't. But no doubt, the father came to the disciples. They couldn't help. So now there's a little doubt whether or not Jesus can. I believe that he can, but I don't know if he will. So with all these accounts, it's continuing to ask, to seek, and to knock, believing that God can, and just seeking God for the answer and waiting for him to give it, not giving up, not allowing yourself to be discouraged, not allowing yourself to be detoured away from the Lord, but knowing without a shadow of doubt, God is my only hope. Jesus is the only one that can help me. He's the only one that can turn this situation around. He's the only one that can turn this person's heart towards him. I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It is a verse that you know. But I believe after 2020, a lot of Christians are struggling with their faith. They're struggling with trusting the Lord. They're struggling with walking with the Lord. They're struggling with praying to God. They're struggling with casting their cares upon him, forgetting that he careth for them. And Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it is a verse that we know. It's a verse that I often quote, but it's a verse that must be on the forefront of our hearts and our minds. But without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Now the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking the Lord. That's asking, seeking, knocking. It is being diligent in calling out to God until you get an answer. Knocking on that door until God opens it. And again, you know that as you draw close to the Lord, as you continue seeking God, your heart will start to turn and your heart will become more like the Lord's heart, and you'll start seeking his will. You'll start wanting him to be glorified. You'll want Jesus to be lifted up in your life and in the life of others. Again, it's not name it and claim it. It's not, Lord, give me a new car because I want it. It's not, Lord, give me this, give me that. Because when you get into the presence of God, and you know this, when you get into the presence of God, you see who you are. I see who I am in the presence of God. You go back and you look at different prophets. And you look at Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the whole temple. And the Bible says that Isaiah, a man of God, fell on his face before God and said, I'm a man of unclean lips. A man who spoke the words of God says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? So when you get into the presence of God, we realize, you know what? We're not as good as who we think we are. We're not that great. Lord, there's nothing I need. But Lord, this person does. This person needs your help. And tonight, as we think about just the fact that it still takes faith to please the Lord, if we admit our unbelief, then God's able to do work. God's able to move. And asking and seeking and knocking and not giving up on people and not giving up on situations, but even wanting, God, show yourself mighty in my life. Lord, you say you're walking to and fro, seeing who you can show yourself mighty in their life. Lord, show yourself mighty in my life. Lord, because I know that you can. I believe that you can. Jesus promised in Matthew 7, verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus promised that. And Jesus is not a man that he should lie. And if he says ask, seek, and knock, that's exactly what we should do. And we should be very fervent and diligently about it, believing and trusting that God will. Again, there are people in your life that you want to see come to the Lord. There are people in your life that need healing. There's still power in prayer. God is still a healing God. He's the great physician. So don't lose hope on the Lord. Don't faint in praying, but continue praying, continue believing, continue trusting the Lord, because he is the God that is still able to move mountains. He's still able to do great and mighty things in our life.